Despite exposure to many cancer-causing agents or carcinogens in our environment, the human body does have a way to repair damaged DNA that can, at times, prevent the development of tumors. A new study published in the November 11, 2008 edition in the online edition of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the USA, scientists have identified a new biochemical pathway which controls DNA repair. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Elliot Drobetsky, Associate Professor, Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal, and Director of Research in Immunology Oncology at L'Hôpital Maisonneuve-Rosemont Research Center. Good afternoon.
Hi, Barry.
I wanted to first start with the basic science that led to the development of your study. What were some of the issues that pointed you in the direction to look at these particular mechanisms?
Okay, well, for a long time now, we've been interested in a particular DNA repair pathway. There's actually a few DNA repair pathways that remove genetic damage from DNA before this damage can be turned into mutations. But we were interested in a particular pathway called nucleotide excision repair, which acts particularly on damage that's induced by many environmental carcinogens, such as ultraviolet light and even cigarette smoke. And we were a lot is known about how this pathway actually works, but very little is known about how the pathway is regulated on a biochemical level. And we were interested to elucidate the regulation of this pathway. So actually, we didn't discover a new DNA repair pathway, but we discovered a very important level of regulation of this pathway.
So, and in this regulation, I would imagine that there are main players or proteins that are responsible for controlling this.
That's correct. There's this one particular protein, which we'll call ATR kinase. Actually, it stands for ataxia telangiectasia and RAD3 related kinase, which is a long name. So we'll call it ATR.
Okay.
And this is an extremely important protein, which sits at the top of a very extensive biochemical pathway and regulates all of the components of this pathway. So it's a major, let's call it a sensor of DNA damage. And then once the DNA damage is sensed by ATR, ATR will then go and modify many proteins in the cell which have many different functions. So it's an extremely important responder to genotoxic stress or carcinogens in the environment. Now, prior to our study, ATR had been implicated, for example, in the response to ultraviolet light from the sun. It was implicated in various processes, but not DNA repair. And actually, what our laboratory uncovered was really a major activity for ATR in the regulation of this pathway, nucleotide excision repair, that responds to environmental carcinogens and is critical for the repair of DNA damage induced by these carcinogens. If this pathway, nucleotide excision repair, is defective, for example, there are people who have diseases, genetic diseases, mm-hmm. where they're completely defective in nucleotide excision repair, and they develop skin cancers, including melanoma skin cancer, a very deadly form of cancer, by age 5 or 6, and they generally succumb. They're extremely sensitive to ultraviolet light from the sun.
What was your study design when you wanted to look at this mechanism?
Well, the basic design of the study was conceptually quite simple. We hypothesized that ATR was involved in nucleotide excision repair, but we also hypothesized that it's involved in a particular part of the growth cycle of the cell. And that part of the growth cycle of the cell is when the cell is replicating its DNA, because cells have to replicate their DNA before they divide mm-hmm. in order to pass with great fidelity a complement of genes to the daughter cell. Or to the cell that, right. that divides, and so there's a particular critical time growth period of the cell called S phase, which is for synthesis phase, and that's when the DNA is duplicated to be passed on to the daughter cell, and for various technical reasons, which I don't think I'll get into mm-hmm. right now, nobody had looked at DNA repair capacity during this critical S phase period of the cell growth cycle. And this was largely for technical reasons. So we developed a new way to look at DNA repair during this particular very critical phase of the growth cycle. And so that was the first step. The first step in the research was to develop a way of measuring the efficiency of nucleotide excision repair during S phase, and this had never been done before. But as for the rest of it, it was conceptually quite simple. We just had to find ways to knock down or deplete the activity of ATR in the cell, which can be a little bit tricky, mm-hmm. but there are established techniques now for doing this. And we were able to obtain also cell lines, human cell lines, which are deficient in ATR activity. And we used our new assay to measure nucleotide excision repair efficiency during S phase of the cell cycle.
And so what were the results?
Okay, well, the results were really quite striking. When a scientist is looking for an effect, it's really nice when it's completely, totally abrogated. And in this case, no statistics were necessary. Mm-hmm. When we knocked down ATR by various means, we found that nucleotide excision repair activity was completely abolished during this critical time of the cell cycle.
So in other words, now you would have nothing to repair the DNA anymore, which would lead to potentially more mutations, and that would relate in some way to what you see with cancer cells, where there's very little regulation on their growth and how they develop.
Exactly. What we call genomic instability or genetic instability is key to the development of cancer. And this pathway, if it would be mutated in human cancers, and we have some evidence that it is, I'll tell you about that mm-hmm. in a moment. If it would be mutated in humans or dysregulated in humans, as our data suggest, then this would implicate it as a key pathway in the development of cancer in response to environmental carcinogens. And mutations that are caused by exposure to carcinogens in the environment is a major determinant in cancer development.
So in terms of then, as you mentioned, the implications, when trying to determine the mechanism of factors that influence the development of cancer, does this mean that if you can introduce this system into a cell that lacks the ATR, or where you induce that in the cell lines that you had, does that mean that you might be able to correct the DNA damage that's going on within that cell?
Theoretically, yes. What we think is happening in terms of cancer development is that somewhere along the line, upon exposure to environmental carcinogens that induce mutations, and also processes in the body that are able to induce mutations. It's not only environmental contamination. There's also certain types of contamination, like reactive oxygen species, that are produced in the body that can also induce mutations. But these mutations accumulate and eventually lead to the growth of a tumor. And tumors are all derived from a single cell. Most tumors mm-hmm. are derived from a single cell. So what we believe is happening is that at some point, a single cell in the body loses the ability to repair their DNA during this S phase of the cell cycle, and that makes them particularly prone to more mutations, which then accumulate and lead to unregulated growth of the cell and growth of that cell into a full-blown tumor.
So it's almost as if you get this exponential change in how it processes. As you said, you start off with one cell, but then you get one mutation, then two, then four, and it just keeps going and going until you reach such a critical numbers of errors
exactly.
that the cell just loses control.
Exactly. That's what cancer development is based on, the accumulation. It's really the random accumulation of mutations that once it reaches a certain threshold, once there's enough mutations and they're able to work together, obviously in a bad way, the cell growth becomes mm-hmm. completely unregulated, and a single cell will grow into a tumor, and that will spread all over your body. It's interesting that cancers are generally derived from just a single cell, and we have billions of cells, so that might sound a little bit scary.
What are the next steps now from this research?
Well, the next steps from the research, I mean, from a fundamental standpoint, in terms of cancer development, it's very important for our understanding of cancer development because it provides a potential mechanism whereby cancers develop. But what we think is that it's also important for cancer therapy. It has very important implications for cancer therapy, and I'll explain to you what I mean. Mm-hmm. We found that this pathway, we looked in human cell lines that are derived from human cancers, and we found that in 50% of these cell lines, this pathway was completely abolished. So that would imply that that this pathway is dysregulated in, mm-hmm. in many cancers, in, you know, maybe perhaps up to 50% of cancers. But we have to do more research to establish right. This very conclusively. But the data are very, very indicative that this ATR-regulated repair pathway is, in fact, defective in many human cancers. Now, if that is true, it's important to note that many of the agents that are used to treat cancer are, in fact, carcinogens themselves. Mm-hmm. And the way cancer has been treated for the last 30 or 40 years is to feed people these dangerous, you know, what would be considered dangerous carcinogens. And these carcinogens, if administered properly, will target cancer cells more than normal cells.
Right.
Because cancer cells are very rapidly dividing, and carcinogens generally have their strongest effect on rapidly dividing cells, mm-hmm. whereas normal cells in the body, which aren't rapidly dividing, they're not cancerous, are much less affected. So although you're being fed a poison, so to speak, these poisons really, really preferentially target cancer cells. And that's why cancer patients, often become ill. It's a side effect, you know,
right.
but obviously if you're going to kill the cancer, it's a small price to pay, to be ill for a while, if you're going mm-hmm. to be able to eradicate the cancer. So the point is that if 50% of human cancers are defective in this ATR-regulated pathway, and then we can identify in a particular patient that they are defective in this pathway, then they would be very, the best way, or potentially the best way to treat their cancer would be to give them a specific DNA damaging agent that needs to be repaired by nucleotide excision repair,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to be defective in that pathway. And the logic there is that our research also showed that normal cells, although 50% of cancer cells appear to be completely defective in this pathway, normal cells appear not to be affected.
So is this, I would imagine you're extrapolating into the future to look at this possible means of treating, but I would imagine that there's still a lot of work to do before it gets to that level.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. For example, we have to look in a very much larger, expanded sample of human tumors to determine whether or not, in fact, this pathway is deregulated in a majority of cancers. And once we were able to do that, then we can go on to try to identify in individual patients whether or not this pathway is intact or not. And for the patients where the pathway is not intact, we predict that their normal cells will be intact.
Mm-hmm.
So you can then give them these treatments and it will have a much more intensive effect on the cancer cell compared to the normal cell, thereby not only improving the chances of killing the cancer, but minimizing the side effect on normal cells. So this could lead to greatly improved chemotherapeutic protocols.
Dr. Elliot Drabetsky is Associate Professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal and Director of Research in Immunology Oncology at the L'Hôpital Maisonneuve-Rosemont Research Center. And Dr. Drabetsky, I'd like to thank you very much for your time today and talking about a very interesting mechanism that, from what I've read and from what you've described, is certainly a very exciting area in terms of being able to hopefully apply to a treatment regimen for people who have various tumors or cancers.
Well, Barry, it's a great pleasure, and thank you very much for your interest.